Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
You need that fear.
All I'm trying to do is make a stand for something that I truly believe is right. I truly believe is right.
Yes, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Boxing Voice. We are here with some breaking news. Anthony Joshua versus Tyson Fury is miles away and will not be next, according to the promoter of Anthony Joshua, Eddie Hearn. We're going to give you all the quotes. We're going to talk a little more in depth about this, but we're also going to talk about his amazing viewership. And I'm talking Anthony Joshua did amazing numbers across the globe, to be honest with you. And then we'll go a step further and discuss the possibilities that he has, since now he's only going to be fighting twice a year. So on top of the fact that, you know, Fury is not going to be next, the man's not going to be fighting until maybe November, and he did great numbers, so networks are definitely interested in him. But we're going to talk about this with a couple of panelists. Let's head on over to the Golden State.
Dalla DiBiase Production.
This is a beautiful performance against a very tough guy in Michael Johnson. How do you feel about it?
Fuck yeah. Conor McGregor.
BoxingVoice.com.
You know me, Larry. From a wicked entrance, from a flip over the rock, into a knockout, man. When the main thing is, I just want the guy. I wish.
BoxingVoice.com.
Yes, the hipsters here. Haters beware. Anthony Joshua, I'm telling you, he's the biggest star in boxing. And if he's not today the biggest star in boxing, in 12 months, he will be without a doubt. And we're going to obviously go over these numbers, go over the quotes from Joshua and Eddie Hearn detailing Tyson Fury and that whole call out and what's really next for Joshua. So can't wait to chop it up.
Okay, Alex Lyons in the building. Doomsday. And, yeah, can't wait to get into this topic, man. Anthony Joshua deciding, or his promotional team and the squad deciding to maybe only fight twice a year. Got to get into that. There's a lot of things that could be pulled out of that topic, so let's get it going.
For sure. Let's take it from the top. Obviously, it was previously reported that Tyson Fury was taunting Anthony Joshua. I mean, he's been doing that all over social media. You can see his tweets and his Instagram posts. Even little dances. But Monday, he was insisting that he can beat Anthony Joshua with one arm tied behind his back. Now, obviously, the style of Fury on his toes, the way that he showed us he can do versus Vladimir Klitschko, was an effective style. Would it be effective versus the Anthony Joshua? We won't find out. Not this year anyway, Matt, because promoter Eddie Hearn is saying that this fight is miles away.
And as it should be. I mean, if anyone is listening and going, oh, like, this is a bummer. No, this is actually really good news. We want the Tyson Fury fight to be later because we want the Tyson Fury, the version of Tyson Fury that goes in against Anthony Joshua to be the best version possible. And right now he's not that. You know, Tyson Fury is an example of somebody that obviously needs some tune-ups before going back in there. He's had, what, a two-year layoff. He's gained over 100 pounds, something like that. He's gained some massive weight. Obviously went to rehab, dealt with some drug addiction and substance issues. Take your time, Tyson Fury. There's no reason to rush into this fight. I think as fans, we should be happy about this too. One, we don't get a bad fight in terms of the condition of both men or one man right now. And two, when we do get the fight, we're almost guaranteed a better version of Tyson Fury.
For sure.
Well, Tyson Fury, you know, he's melted away 18 pounds, according to him, on his Instagram. And I don't know how soon he's going to be ready. But is that the fight that the fans really wanted to see right after this Klitschko fight? Is that really the one?
UK fans, because, I mean, let's be honest, Tyson Fury is the lineal champion in the heavyweight division. He is the man to beat the man. He did what Joshua has done first. And according to Tyson Fury in his tweets, he didn't go life and death with Klitschko.
True, but he also had one of the most lackluster and least dominant fights for a challenger in a while.
Keep in mind, I'm only phrasing his tweet. These are not my words. These are not my own views, obviously. You know, this is just Tyson Fury's Twitter.
Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
And going along what Alex was talking about, like, is this the fight that fans want? I think yes, in the sense that if Tyson Fury was in prime condition right now, it would be the obvious fight. All UK showdown, it's a mega fight, the lineal champion against the biggest star of the division. I think it would make a lot of sense, even over the Wilder fight.
I mean, Styles makes fights,
But you add the X factors of Tyson Fury's condition, it doesn't make sense right now. And I don't think fans should want this right now.
Well, if I'm Joshua, I do want it right now.
If I'm Joshua, I do. Oh, yeah.
You know, I see some guys saying, oh, there's no way it's going to happen. But again, if we're also bringing you the news that Anthony Joshua and his promoter have already made it clear that they're only fighting twice a year. Obviously, you know, Hearn said this fight is not happening this year either. But if Fury wanted it to, he could be ready for September, November. December, come on, knock it off. But November is probably the month that they would go. It's a month that they already had a previous Anthony Joshua big card on. But let's talk about the views. Let's talk about what he did do well and what it's going to mean that he did 659,000 viewers on Showtime for the live telecast, which was obviously Saturday, in what is being called one of the most highly entertaining fights in probably over 20 years, Matt. Have you seen those headlines? People are saying this was...
Yeah, that's hyperbole. I'm sorry. If you really think this is a classic heavyweight bout, go back and watch Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier.
Yeah, but we're not talking about Muhammad Ali and Frazier, Matt. But we're talking about Klitschko.
Did they make it a classic fight in their era? It's a good fight, 100%. Very entertaining fight. Possibly fight of the year.
10 years from now, are you going to be looking back at this fight as a classic fight?
I don't know.
Well, that's the question. That's what makes the fight classic.
But it has all the elements, Matt. It has all the elements.
But if you compare it side by side with other great heavyweight fights, to me, it just doesn't compare. I'm sorry.
Why? This reminds me. I mean, just like how many fights did Spinks have when he fought Ali, right? Was it Ali?
That wasn't a classic heavyweight fight. That's not what I'm thinking of when I think of classic heavyweight fights.
The Thriller in Manila. That's what you want to think about classic fights.
Or the golden era of heavyweight. I mean, go back and watch those fights. I watched them last week. They were different.
Both those guys were on a high. This one, you know, Klitschko had...
Now, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. The fact that Klitschko is past his prime, maybe that...
Well, no. Not past his prime because...
Well, he is past his prime. He is.
No, he showed you...
I'm not saying he's bad, but he's definitely past his prime.
I'm not going to agree with that. He showed us he wasn't past his prime.
You don't think, like, the David Haye time period of him was the prime Klitschko?
No.
I can understand where Matt's coming from a physical point of view. But he looked good. We all saw this.
I'm not saying he looked bad. I'm not saying he looked bad at all. And I'm not saying the fight was bad. I'm just saying that let's pump the brakes a little bit on saying this is the best fight in 20 years. This is the instant classic heavyweight fight. Like, let's just wait. Let's wait for those 10 years to come up. If we're still talking about it, then we can really address it and go, wow, was this really a great heavyweight fight that we're talking about? Does this compare to the likes of Riddick Bowe and Evander Holyfield? Does this compare to the likes of...
In the last 5 years, have you seen a better heavyweight fight than this?
No, I haven't.
We're talking about a half a decade now. You see, it's on its way there.
But it was a hell of a fight, the heavyweight division of the last decade. Think of the heavyweight division of the last decade.
The numbers for HBO's delayed telecasts are supposed to be aired today. I wonder if those are out yet.
They did. You didn't see them?
No. What did they do?
It peaked at 890,000.
Jesus Christ. Can you believe that? Can you believe that the delay
on a delay almost did a million?
They did more than the live, bro. That's what people.
That's not surprising. That's HBO. I'm not surprised at that at all. 200,000.
Yeah, but that's what people don't understand. That our mind has been programmed for so long for boxing to come from HBO. That
true.
Yo, and not to mention the time too. Like, you know, not everybody was available at 5:15 in the afternoon, and the fucking fight didn't even start at 5:15. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If people at least told people like, yo. 5:15, the telecast starts, but guess what? This is going to take place at like 6:15, you know, but damn, I mean,
and then the 10 million views in Germany. Don't forget that 10 million people watch it in Germany.
Germany, man. That's, you know, that's
the only fight that outdid it was Klitschko and David Haye, which at the time was a mega fight. That was an insane fight, that an insane hype, especially in Germany. So this even coming close to that and being the second most watched boxing fight in German history, that's pretty impressive.
Definitely is impressive. But when speaking of dance partners, Eddie Hearn told The Guardian, I think that we can definitely find someone to dance with to bring that sort of attention again. Anyone with the belt is good to add more to the collection. We could rematch Klitschko again. I think that would be good because of the type of fight we had. And I think even guys without a belt would be good. Tyson Fury obviously hasn't got a belt. But, you know, that won't be happening this year. But who do you think that they can get out there to kind of – because, look, I mean, you check Joshua and the things that he's been posting, he's saying he only wants big fights from here on out. That's why he's only fighting two times a year. So they're looking to fill this stadium again. If not Fury, who can you fill it with?
And I'll put it this way.
I think Joshua feels it. I mean, let's get it straight. He's the one who's pulling the crowd.
No, this is 90,000. This is not his previous fights. Who's going to fill 90 with him? Like, he doesn't need a dance partner, in your opinion?
Well, Anthony Joshua?
Yes, Anthony.
Yeah. I believe that he's the one. It doesn't matter who he fights.
So you think he can sell 90,000 from here on out? No problem.
He's a star, man. And if he's fighting in England, no. I think he can fill it up. Parker, right now, the way I see it, Deontay Wilder right now and Bellew, they're creating something over there that I don't know how you guys feel about that. I'm thinking that maybe Deontay goes up there, maybe has a fight with Bellew, gets noticed more in the UK market, and Joshua takes a fight with Parker. What do you think about that?
I won't go as far as saying that he sells out 90,000 every time now. I think certain fights, Tyson Fury, yes. Wilder, most likely. Parker and Ortiz, I doubt it. I can see they're doing maybe like a 60,000 or 50,000. I can definitely see that. But 90,000, that's a lot. And also, just very quickly on the point of Joshua only wanting big fights. Once you get a $20 million paycheck for a fight, it's very hard to take a decrease in pay to fight somebody else, to fight somebody lesser. You want to keep making $20 million paychecks per fight.
I was going to say, bro, this dude made $20 million.
Damn.
So,
and 13 of it was guaranteed.
Now,
that's impressive.
He said Shannon Briggs, and I know he was just, you know, kind of in the fashion of saying hello and things like that and saluting Shannon and stuff, because they have a lot of respect for him out there in the UK. But with Shannon Briggs having that fight with Fraz Okendo and becoming one step closer to whatever version of the WBA title that Joshua has, is that a dance partner? Is he big enough? Because, I mean, again, I mean, I asked you and you didn't give me a name. Who's going to fill 90,000 with him?
Well, I gave you names. I said Fury for sure.
But you know it's not Fury. That's what I'm saying.
I know that. He's not selling 90,000 next.
It's
that simple. He's not selling 90,000 next.
But that is their trajectory, right? He's saying, like, I'm not fighting more than twice, and I'm only fighting big fights, and it's not Fury. So, like, put your thinking cap on, man.
But you can do a 50,000-seat stadium, and that's still massive. You don't need... You know what I mean? Like, you can, and that the prices could be higher on those tickets. So I'm just saying, like, you don't need a 90,000 seat stadium to make it a big fight. there's 40,000 seat stadiums, and you can charge each ticket double what you charge the 90,000 seat stadium.
Wow. You know what's funny? I wish we could charge double to watch this, because there's so many people watching and no one hitting the thumbs up button as if they're not appreciating the content. If you are, please hit the thumbs up button. It lets me, Matt, and Doomsday know that you appreciate us, you know, doing this midday show. Well, we're going to leave that question for the callers, I guess. We're going to have to ask them, who does he feel? Does he choose to go back to the big old 90,000 arena, or does he downsize? I don't know. I don't think they're going to go backwards, Matt. I mean, Eddie Hearn is a very smart promoter. I don't think.
What I'm thinking is that if you decrease the amount of seats you have, you're going to increase the pay-per-view buys, because Joshua's only going to sell more pay-per-views from here on out, in my opinion. So that's how they're probably going to make up the loss of revenue in terms of the gate revenue.
All right. Shout out to Dempsey on a check-in. Well, listen, let's go out to the phone lines and get the streets perspective on this. Let's make sure we touched on all the topics. We did say he's not fighting more than twice a year from here on out. We did say it's not going to be Fury. Hearn made that clear, that that fight is miles away. And also, the boy did numbers, both on Showtime and the HBO tape delay. Definitely giving Canelo now a run for his money. So, do you know the number? 1-425-569-5241. Press 1 one time if you want to voice your opinion here on the Voice of the People hotline. And if you're calling internationally, add Nestor Gibbs on Skype, NestorGibbs.
These calls are brought to you by El Camino Electrical Services, experts in electric vehicle charging stations. For consultations and turnkey installation, visit us at ElCaminoElectricalServices.com.
Going out to our Skype callers in the UK, we got Blackface. Talk to us.
Respect to everyone listening in the past, present, or future. Blackface calling in all the way from the UK. You're supposed to go forward, never backwards, stupid. But that being said, that you can't have 90,000 people as your home stadium for boxing. Joshua, unless he's the only people that's going to fill the 90,000 seats, is Wilder, is Vlad and Tyson Fury. Nobody else is going to do 90,000 seats with Joshua. It has to go backwards. He has to take a step down and maybe cut that in half, or maybe go back to the O2. I'm not sure what the O2 usually holds, but it's at least half of that. You can't, I mean, I understand Joshua's a star, but filling 90,000 against, you know, let's just say Pulev or Charles Martin and stuff would be really difficult. And, you know, it's something that's just unnecessary, in my opinion. The 90,000 should be for hyper fights and hyper fights only. All of the fights should be, you know, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000 seat stadiums, in my opinion. I'm glad the Fury fight isn't happening anytime soon. You know, Fury, he has to get in shape. He has to pass a drug test, and he's also got to has to go to court for that UCADA drug test that he failed against Vlad. So he's got a lot of gates that he has to go through before we even see him in the sport in a title fight again. So, you know, Tyson Fury probably not going to see him for at least a year or so, in my opinion, and he shouldn't anyway. The fight that we want to see is Wilder. I don't really want to see the Vlad rematch or we take any of the mandatories, but yeah, you know, Joshua's on the verge to becoming a hyperstar. Well, he's already a hyperstar, in my opinion, but you have to take a small step backwards to prolong your career. It feels like he fights Pulev in 90,000. It's just not going to be as hype as it is against Vlad, but, you know, that's my call, man. Sleeping in the winter is called hibernation, but if you sleep in the summer, it's called estivation.
Blackface, thanks for calling in. We're going to go out to...
Very quickly, we've got to mention one more item that Eddie Hearn said. We don't have the numbers yet, but Eddie Hearn has said that this has broken pay-per-view record in the UK. It broke the Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather record of 1.5 million pay-per-view buys in the UK. If that is true, kudos to Anthony Joshua and Klitschko for getting the record.
Absolutely, man. They deserve everything they're getting, bro. Listen, Joshua, being as big as a star as he is only shining the light on all of boxing. You know, so let his star shine bright like a diamond. Damn, I actually got that soundbite. That would have been sweet, but I messed it up. I totally messed it up. I don't know where it's at right now. All right, so let's go to Wesley in the UK.
Guys, what's up?
What's happening, Wesley?
I mean, yeah, it was a great fight, but I do think, let's be honest, Joshua's gonna have to downsize. I do agree with the producer. I don't think he feels 90,000 just with another bum. It has to be a big fight. It has to be a Wilder or.
But what about guys like Pulev, Shannon Briggs, Joseph Parker,
Ortiz, Luis Ortiz.
Those guys can't do it.
The problem is they can, but the casual fan doesn't know them. That's the problem. I mean, the problem is it's like if you go to Las Vegas and then you put Luis Ortiz and the Deontay Wilder, most of the fans are not going to be hardcore fans. They're not going to be like you and I. They're not going to be hardcore fans. They don't know what a big fight is. They just think, oh well, and Joshua's fighting, so it must be a good fight.
You know, so is he like Mayweather now in the UK, where just it doesn't matter what he fights or who he fights, like it's just Joshua, so people are going to buy it no matter what?
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem, yeah. Because everyone buys into this Joshua brand. I mean, it's the problem is because he's so big now, everyone's like, oh, Joshua's fights are events now. They're not even fights. They're events. Like everyone likes to come out to Joshua. That's the big thing. But if he fights Wilder, then I would love to see that fight, because you know what? It's a great fight, and I do think Wilder can beat him. But then again, I think Joshua can also beat Wilder, so it'll be interesting. We'll see.
Wesley, thank you for calling in. Always a pleasure having you guys call in all the way from the UK. We're going to stay out in the United Kingdom. We're going to Michael. Talk to me.
Hello, guys, on the Boxing Voice. Happy that you guys got us through at this time. I'm going to be a little bit controversial. I'm going to disagree with the last two callers right there in regards to, is he able to fill a large stadium for the other fights? Because looking at history, Britain always come out to support their fighters, no matter who they fight. And the best example is David Haye. David Haye had two comeback fights against fighters I haven't heard of in my entire life, and he sold out 20,000 arenas. That's with someone who is that's YouTube fighters, like, that no one's never heard of. You guys have never heard of them. So if he can do that, 20,000, like, for example, Deontay Wilder fights opponents, he struggles to sell out maybe 8,000, maybe that. And if he can, and if David Haye can do that, then Anthony Joshua, who is a bigger star now, can easily fill out maybe 50,000 arenas against, you know, Ortiz, against Parker, against, you know, those kinds of names, or even his mandatories. So I feel like the support is there now. Anthony Joshua, like you said, he can't go down anymore. He has to be going upwards. And I feel like he can easily sell 50 upwards going forward, because the support he has is there. History of Brit, like Ricky Hatton, he fought a nobody in Manchester City Stadium. He sold 55,000. El Brook is fighting El Spence. So do the hardcore fans know who he is? But the general public don't know. He's selling 36,000 in Sheffield. So I feel like the support is there. It's just that they just want to see the stars in fights that will be not jobbers, but competitive, semi-competitive. So I disagree with them in regards to that. So that's my main call. And also Tyson Fury, I think it'll be a good fight. But I don't think that Tyson Fury will be the same fighter, because he's had mental issues. So I don't know if it'll be as entertaining. And one more thing as well, in regards to the fight, I think that people that are, during the calls, people are complaining, saying Joshua and Klitschko wasn't a great fight. Look back to Tyson Fury versus Klitschko, and then come back to me and tell me that wasn't a better fight.
Absolutely right.
That's all I've got to say. So I'm happy that you guys got calls at this time. I can listen all the way through now. Take care.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. We appreciate all the callers we get, international and abroad here in the U.S. And if you guys appreciate what we do, you can always support us on Patreon. It helps us to continue to bring you more exclusive coverage like when we got into the camp of Errol Spence right before this big fight with Kell Brook. So definitely head on over to the YouTube channel and you can subscribe right above because we're definitely putting out some good content for sure. We're going to now go to some more callers. I want to ask you, if you're watching this on YouTube, to hit that thumbs up button. It helps with the visibility of the show. And if you're listening to this on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, or any podcast catcher out there, do us a favor. Drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. And guess what? We're going to go back and read your review here live on the show. We're going to go back to the UK with David Beanie. Michael, please mute yourself. David, talk to us.
Hey, guys. Yeah, so I just wanted to, I guess, agree with the last caller and disagree with the previous two callers. If Ricky Hatton can do 55,000 against Juan Loscano, I think it was, in Manchester, then Anthony Joshua can pretty much do 90,000 against anyone at this stage. It just doesn't matter. People just want to go and see him.
Let me throw you a curveball, David.
Okay, go on.
Dylan goes in there and it's Dillian, right? Dillian White, right? So he goes in there. He goes in there and he destroys Maurice Vaak. I'm talking about Triple G is Nobuhiro Ishida style.
Mm-hmm.
Dillian White rematch Anthony Joshua? Could that do the 90,000 that Joshua's looking for?
Joshua could do 90,000 against Pulev, honestly. I mean, as long as he delivers that kind of level, like, his stardom just went from, like, his stardom just gone sky high. So his next fight, if he delivers again, like, his next fight, he could do 90,000. When you think there were, including myself, there were 35,000 people still in the queue trying to buy Vladimir Klitschko, him against Vladimir Klitschko tickets, when they all sold out. So, you know, you imagine if there were, let's say that the average person was trying to buy, I don't know, 2 or 3 tickets, that's an extra 60 to 90,000 people that still wanted tickets. So, and pretty much everyone who bought the ticket there on Saturday night got their money's worth and think, you know what, fuck it, I'll just go, I'll go to the next show, I'll support. It's kind of almost like they're supporting AJ. It doesn't matter who it's against. They're just going there to cheer on, you know, our guy, I guess. So it's not necessarily about who he fights. And as I said, like, Ricky Hatton did 55,000 against Juan Loscano. And one point before I forget, Wembley Stadium.
Hey, we got some people in the chat saying, no way, Jose, not against Pulev. That's BS.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. Well, Eddie Hearn's already said they're probably going to do the next fight at Principality Stadium in Wales, which holds 80,000, has a roof, so they can do it anytime in the winter. So, and the thing is, what they'll do is, the same way they did it for the Aaron Molina card, they'll put on just a better undercard, because obviously they're, you know, they're not going to have to pay Pulev anywhere near the purse that obviously Klitschko got. So, you know, they'll be able to put a bit more money in the undercard. And at this stage, honestly, I think AJ can literally do, he can fill anywhere in the UK against whoever. It just doesn't matter. People just want to go and, people will want to go and see him. It doesn't matter who he is against. It's like when, I don't know, I guess Muhammad Ali, when, I don't think, he almost got to a stage where he could almost fight anyone and people would just be going there just to see him. He's almost, I wouldn't say he's quite got to that level yet, but he's kind of, it's almost like AJ's like a circus attraction. People just going to see him. It doesn't matter. You could put him in there with, I don't know, a gorilla or whatever, and or a tiger or something, and it'll still sell out. So it just doesn't matter who or what you put him against. It doesn't matter.
David, great call. You got the chat on fire. A lot of people agreeing with you. So it's looking like over in the UK, this guy is a bona fide star, Doomy Doomsday.
Told you guys, man, after this Klitschko win, I think he's solidified.
We still have some people saying, you know, he can't fill it with a guy like...
I want to hear this.
No, they're just saying he can't fill it with a guy like Pulev. I don't know.
Is Pulev really the next option? Come on.
Well, he's definitely a mandatory for the IBF, and then Luis Ortiz is the mandatory for the WBA, and both titles belong to Anthony Joshua along with the IBO.
How soon he has to defend?
Yeah, he's going to have to or pay some step-aside money for a bigger fight, which really isn't there just yet, but we're going to go out to Texas. Class and Bound, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on? All right, so So with Anthony Joshua, I think it's going to be a little different for Joshua. I don't think he'll do 90,000 with someone like Pulev. I think he'll do like maybe 80,000 or 75,000. But just think about that for a second. The fact that I'm thinking that's lower, 75,000 or 80,000, that's quite a bit. Like, Anthony Joshua has absolutely cemented his stardom right now in the UK. And like we've always known, the UK has the better boxing fans in the world. Like, they'll show up for anyone. Like they said, they showed up for Ricky Hatton, and they'll show up for all their guys because they support them. Anthony Joshua fighting, not fighting Tyson Fury is kind of logical because Tyson Fury is not in any shape to be fighting anyone. I would like to see Anthony Joshua maybe take a soft touch after this Vladimir fight. Like, I'm not saying Pulev is a soft touch, but I mean, I don't know. I've never. What do you guys think about that fight? I think he should get that Pulev fight out of the way. What do y'all guys think?
I think that based off what he's seen Vladimir do, Pulev is kind of a sitting target, and it plays into the style of Joshua. I think he could just clubber him down. I mean, why not take it? I don't do what Fury did. I don't vacate the title. There's not a bigger fight out there, so why not handle your mandatories?
Well, like first off, he did send out the rematch contract. He did send one to Vladimir Klitschko, so that is on the table. And if Klitschko does sign it, that is going to happen first before these mandatories.
No, well, we obviously spoke about that, like, the day.
I'm just letting everyone know that the contract has been sent out according to Joshua's team.
Perfect, perfect. I say get the wheels in motion. Let's see it again in November.
Well, I mean, I'm not really excited to see the rematch, to be honest. Like, I think that's the best we're going to see from Vladimir, which he did do really well. Like, I mean, we were all impressed by it, and I think he should go out that way, just on a blaze of glory, the old guard showing that even in his old age, he was still able to show some of the greatness she's shown in his prime. So, other than that, that's all I've really got for you. And like I said, Wilder should focus on getting that Parker fight as soon as possible, and that's all I've got.
Class and bound. Always class. Let's go out to the UK. 4475. Sir?
Hello.
Hello. Where are you calling in from?
Hello. Hello. The UK.
All right, brother. First time calling in?
UK fans. We're always calling. We love boxing.
I know. First time calling in, correct?
Yeah, first time. I'm an Irish guy living in London. And, Let me play this first-time caller. What a nice start of the night was amazing.
Let me just play this first-time caller intro. Once you hear that introduction, go ahead and let the world know where you're calling from and your name. Then you can go ahead and get into the topic. The topic is Eddie Hearn is saying Fury's not happening in this year. Joshua's only fighting twice a year. And the fact that he did amazing viewership globally, 10 million in Germany and very close to 1 million on HBO's telecast, a very strong viewership on Showtime's live telecast. So those are the subjects, and here goes your intro, buddy.
Ladies and gentlemen, making his professional debut.
Emmett. From London, Irish guy living in London. First time calling in.
Talk to us, Emmis.
Well, I get what Eddie Hearn is saying. AJ should probably only fight twice a year now. He's star attraction. He just needs to fight twice a year, and he needs to go out. He just needs to be the big fights. But I love AJ, and I love Rob McCracken. And but having a look at Saturday night's fight, and I would have my question mark over AJ's engine. He seemed to gas out a little bit, as everyone could see, clearly. And I think if he fights Fury, which I think he will have to fight, because Fury, okay, he's back in training. He's not, you know, we can see now today, he's in no fit state. But he's going to get there, because this guy will lose the weight and he will get in shape. And I think, I can't wait to see Fury fight AJ. I think that's going to be a massive fight next year. It won't be this year. Fury needs at least two warm-up fights first. But it'll be next year, and it'll be a massive fight next year. But I'd worry about AJ Gas now, because I can see, how did he fix that? You know, how did he fix that gas now, that engine running low? How did he fix that? And I think I can see Fury making him miss lots.
But what about if he focused a lot less and probably altogether eliminated weightlifting for the next camp?
I wouldn't say eliminate, but definitely cut back.
Eliminate
it wouldn't be healthy.
Eliminate weightlifting.
It would not be healthy.
For the next camp and focus a little more on cardio and strength and conditioning, calisthenics, because a lot of these big guys. I challenge them to do 20 pull-ups. Yeah. You know what I mean? Sometimes these guys could bench press 400 pounds, but then they can't even
Does Fury look like a weightlifter? Does he look like a guy that's in the gym? Does Fury look like a weightlifter, a guy that's in the gym like a bodybuilder? He doesn't. He looks like a boxer. He can fight. He can you know, he can get in there and rock and roll. He can, you know, people, he doesn't get the credit. I'm not here now going on for piping up for Tyson Fury. I'm looking at boxing, and I tell you what, I love AJ. I love what he's doing for boxing. He's bringing interest, massive interest back into the sport that no other guy has done. But having said that, I think, yeah, I can see he needs to change. Rob McCracken needs to get a hold of it, because they need to change the preparation for someone like Fury. They can't go in there like they would in against Klitschko the other night, because Fury's going to beat him. Fury's going to make a miss, and he's going to burn out, and then he's going to get a face peppered off him. The ref will, he'll be sitting in his stool in the corner, and the ref will come over and say, look, lads, he's had enough. Just this guy's finished. He's not able to walk.
You know what? Tyson
Fury is your favorite boxer, right?
Training program. I think he'll have a chance. But I think at the moment, I think what should happen is I think AJ should go and fight Wilder. And I think it'll be interesting about him in Wilder. I think he beats Parker, too.
All right, brother. Well, thank you for calling in. You're punching after the bell. Everyone gets 3 minutes. We want to thank you, obviously, for being a first-time caller and calling all the way in. Don't forget that you can call us absolutely free, my friend, by just adding Nestor Gibbs on Skype. That's NestorGibbs on Skype. And listen, guys, you can even do that from your mobile phone. Both on Android and iPhone, you can download the Skype app, add Nestor Gibbs, and, you know, call into the show absolutely free. And if you're at it, when you're on that smartphone, you might as well hit that thumbs up button, because guess what? We love it. Helps with the visibility of the show, helps us grow, and that's all we want to do. Want to be able to get bigger so that we get bigger guests for you. We were in the UK. We're going back to the UK. Boxing Evolution.
Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
Hey, cool, man. Good call, Ness. So what's it called? I'm on my my iPhone on Skype. So guys, it does work. So do it. What I was going to say, yeah, I think that AJ could, I think you had about two, I think two callers previous said that AJ could sell out the 90,000 with basically almost anyone.
And with Pulev. Yep. One caller said with anyone, and one caller said Pulev.
I think he probably could. Like, I don't know if the guy in the chat is from the UK, but over here, that guy is massive, man. I'm telling you, my whole family were trying to get tickets for this Klitschko fight to see AJ. Like, my mom likes AJ. Like, she don't even watch boxing, but she loves Anthony Joshua. So this guy is huge. So I believe that he could sell out, definitely against Dillon Watkins. With the fight before, when they were in the O2, that fight was really good. So that was sell out Wembley for that. And I just think AJ can sell out Wembley for basically anyone. I agree with that guy. With Deontay Wilder as well, I was at the fight, and where I was sitting, Deontay Wilder was in the part where they do like the broadcast and that. Anytime he walked, like, the whole like lower section were around him. Like, he's very popular over here too. Like, I was surprised to see that quite a lot of people were trying to get pictures of him and trying to get autographs of him and stuff like that. And I think the Scott Quick fight was on at the time, and no one was even watching that shit. They were all looking at Wilder trying to get autographs and stuff. So yeah, so he's very popular. So don't let no one tell you that he ain't. Because I saw firsthand that he's very popular right over here. A lot of people know him. So yeah. Is there anything else, or that will be my call? It's not a problem.
That is all. But Boxing Evolution, someone is saying that you're O'Hara Davis, man.
I'm a Harrah Davis.
Yeah, your voice. I guess you sound like O'Hara Davis.
Oh, my voice is high pitched, right?
It sounds fine to me. I mean, I guess I haven't heard O'Hara Davis yet. I got to go check out that Mayweather interview he did.
Probably like what's it called? My voice is quite high, man. But I'm a big six foot one, 200 pounds of just pure flab. So
it's good. Yo, you had me fooled. I thought you were gonna say 200 pounds of pure muscle, like AJ. Boxing Evolution, man. Thank you for calling in, brother. It's been a pleasure, man. We're going to get back out to these phone lines from the UK. We're going all the way to Larry in San Francisco. Larry, what's going on?
If more than 100 pounds of CRV cans or plastic are weighed, or if more than 1,000 pounds of CRV glass is weighed, the supplier may take...
I think Larry is teaching.
Or at work, or like giving like a seminar. Like
definitely giving a lesson there. He was like,
this meeting?
Instructional videos.
Fortune 500 company we just saw a business meeting in.
He was like 4,000 pounds of protein. Okay. Let's see. Going to the 732, New Jersey. What's up?
Yo, yo, yo. It's Luke from Jersey.
Luke, what's up? I mean, damn, Matt, what's up? This is like Luke's third time already.
I know. I don't know why it's not there. I got you now, Luke. Don't worry.
I'm a ringer now.
And you're a ringer? When did that happen?
I had to be a ringer yesterday.
Oh, so you're Thomas Jefferson. You're Thomas Jefferson. I thought that was a joke.
Yeah, I'm Thomas Jefferson.
I thought that was like a prank. All right, cool.
Okay, I got you as a ringer as well, Luke, so don't worry about it. Next time you call in.
I don't know, Luke. Listen,
if Matt messed it up again,
I say you make him pie himself. I'm telling you.
But we already knew Anthony Joshua was a megastar in the UK, but I didn't hear you talk about the pay-per-view numbers. He also broke the pay-per-view numbers for UK.
No, we addressed that.
He addressed over 1.5 million pay-per-view buys.
Yeah, we addressed that he sold more than Manny Pacquiao. We addressed it. And that he sold 10 million in Germany. In terms of views, we talked about it.
Yeah. But I want to see the rematch, you know, because I thought it was a great fight. I don't know if anyone else can test Joshua like that. But Klitschko, I don't think we've heard from Klitschko whether he's really going to take it or retire. Right?
I don't know, man. Klitschko seemed in the post-fight press conference like he wanted another go. And I'm sure after watching it and watching that he had Anthony Joshua. Listen, let's be honest. I know Joshua's right now everybody's new hometown hero, but he was tired as fuck. He was laying on the ropes. He was letting right hands land. Klitschko is the one that did not have enough in the tank to capitalize. Joshua let his hands drop. He was taking shots. It was Klitschko that could not connect properly, didn't have enough. Let Joshua out the round and ultimately lost the fight due to that because...
Sure. Joshua definitely needs to lose some weight. I mean, he's going to gas after six rounds every time if he's this big. But on Fury, Fury's got to lose, like, what, 100 pounds? Like, this guy is not going to be able to fight in the next 6 months, probably the next year. Like, he's just got to lose weight. And to lose, like, 20 pounds a month, like, that's a lot of weight to lose. Maybe for 350 pounds, it's a little easier. But... he's huge, man. He's real big. He might even be close to 400. But can we talk about how Pulev just fought a bum this weekend and Kevin Johnson couldn't even...
Hey, Kevin Johnson.
Pulev gets all his credit.
Hey, Kevin Johnson, the kingpin, is on Joshua's record. What are you talking about?
and Joshua disposed of him like a bum. If you fight a bum, you're supposed to dispose of him. You know, and Pulev is going 12 rounds with him, and everyone says Pulev is this monster guy that everyone's avoiding. Well, who has Pulev beat? Can you name a single good win on Pulev's career? I mean, he's best known for getting KO'd by Klitschko. What kind of career is that?
Yeah, he was the hipster's hype job, in my opinion. The hipsters always talked about him. The hardcores always talked about him as if he was like this second coming of heavyweight division. I mean, his wins, Chisora, right? He beat Chisora. He beat Pierce.
Yes, he got a split decision with Chisora.
I mean,
and that was in UK. A lot of people, I mean, that was in Germany. A lot of people.
Oh, what about that guy? Ustinov. He beat Ustinov and Dmytrenko. Those are good wins.
Tony Thompson.
Yeah, okay.
He's a decent heavyweight. Like, listen, his resume His resume is up there with any other.
Wins are 4 years ago, too.
I mean, hey, he's not getting the fights either, right?
But you're also talking about his legacy, so we're supposed to bring up fights that were a part of his legacy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You weren't asking about what he's done recently.
Your time, Luke. You are a ringer, so you get to cut the line. Let's go to Terrell in New York. What up? I think it's Brooklyn, right? Terrell, you're in Brooklyn, right?
Yo, what up? What up? Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Yeah, I'm in Brooklyn. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Yeah. Are you guys cool with him? With him fighting twice a year, so I guess he's gonna fight Klitschko again, and then next year, who's he gonna fight first? Is he gonna fight Fury first? Is he gonna fight Wilder first? Like, I want to know when his Wilder fight
is
coming
up. You know how it's gonna go. I think you said it best, and I think, you know what, I didn't even think about it, but that sounds about right. If they could get Vladimir to rematch, that's the best thing, because you got a guy that you already beat that's even older now, right? And you have the experience with him, and so you feel a little more confident going into the second fight. And then, like you said, the beginning of next year, you do that all UK unification, which is really not a unification except for the lineage, you know, for the hardcores, who it matters. You take on Fury at beginning of the year. You close out 2018 with a bang with Wilder.
So do you guys think it's a foregone conclusion that he beats Fury? Because I think Fury is the best technical boxer in the division. So is it a foregone conclusion?
Absolutely not. In my opinion, it's not a foregone conclusion. Absolutely not. I mean, Fury, I didn't expect him to do that to Vladimir, so I would never doubt him again, honestly.
Yeah, styles makes fights, man. Styles makes fights, and stylistically, I think Tyson Fury is going to give AJ a problem.
Yeah, but you also pick Tyson Fury. You also pick Klitschko against Joshua, Alex.
All right, but what does it matter, though?
You're not the biggest fan of Joshua. I'm just saying.
How am I not the biggest fan of Joshua when I'm giving him all the credit? It's a matter of, like, I went for Klitschko. I went for the underdog. And guess what? He had AJ in trouble. But that's not what we're talking about. What were we talking about?
Okay, but if different dudes have different styles of fighting, yes, the style of fighting that Fury beat Klitschko with was boring. But I mean, he does have a point. He didn't go life and death. And I just wanted to say before I get off, like, if people who watch boxing, a boxing story is maybe hipster knows, there was a fighter out of Philadelphia named Jimmy Young who beat George Foreman and beat Muhammad Ali, but he didn't get the decision. That was a great boxer. So I think Fury has a great chance. If I was Joshua, I would want to see if he fights Klitschko again, I don't have a problem with that. But he should fight Wilder first, but I know he's not going to do that. So this is just ring around the rosy with this guy. And now he's only fighting twice a year?
I think it's unfair for you to already say ring around the rosy. The dude just came out of the biggest fight of his life at a time like where no other fighter is taking that career defining fight in their career. And, you know, after making $20 million and selling 90,000, which is the pinnacle of boxing, my friend. Yeah. You probably go into that Mayweather, Pacquiao, Canelo realm, Oscar De La Hoya, where you only fight twice a year. And I wouldn't call it ring around the rosy. I would call it stardom, superstardom. That's it. Really. 8-3-2, you're up.
Hey, what up, y'all? How y'all doing?
Can you give us your name? Can you give us your name and where you're calling in from? Because it says that you've called in before, but the producer has a new computer.
Yeah. Jarvis, Houston. I'm from Houston, Texas.
Yes, I remember Jarvis. What's going on, brother?
Hey, I want y'all personal opinion. When I watched that Klitschko fight, I think the best thing for Anthony Joshua to do, I think he need a couple more tune-ups fight, brother, because I don't think he need to go against Wilder for the simple fact. I didn't really see – I mean, he landed some good shots on Klitschko, but a lot of them shots, like, his eyes was closed when he got them big shots, man. Like, he looked like he was tired. And to me – and personally to me, I really had Klitschko winning that fight. If Klitschko never got knocked down, I think he would have pulled that decision.
Knocked down, my friend. He was knocked down multiple times.
Well, I mean, yeah, if he never got knocked out, I feel like if he would have made it through all around, I think Klitschko would have pulled the decision. I feel like Klitschko was more active than Anthony Johnson. But I do give Anthony, Anthony Joshua props on one thing. He did make Klitschko fight. I can honestly say that he pushed the tempo, but I just ain't really see nothing from him. And if he getting in the shots that Klitschko hit him with, Deontay Wilder, I don't really look at him as a good boxer, but man, if he get hit with some of them bombs like Klitschko hit him, I think it'll be over.
Well, all right, my friend Jarvis, thanks for calling in, man. We were actually in Texas covering that very good prospect slash contender slash future champion you guys have over there. Let's see what happens come May 27th. We're going to go out to some alumni. Been bouncing around this guy. He's anxious today. Let's go to Atlanta, Georgia.
I told y'all a long time ago, Kirkland will go down 3 rounds.
All right, hand. Down goes Kirkland. Step me up.
Next, I got milk, baby.
Yeah, the milkman is back for the midday session. All right. Quick note on the Joshua and Klitschko fight. They actually threw less punches than the Klitschko and Fury fight. So I just thought that was interesting.
That is interesting. Wow.
What I will say, Vlad doubled his power punch output that fight. I think he threw like 70 against Fury. I think he threw like 140 against Joshua, give or take. Don't quote me on that. But, you know, that's interesting. So I don't know exactly what that says, but I just thought it was interesting. But I should be Joshua's financial advisor because I'm about to lay out the fights that are going to put this young man into retirement. This is how it's going to go down. He's going to fight. He's going to. All right. This is what's going to happen. He's going to fight Klitschko at the end of this year. He's going to fight Joseph Parker sometime mid next year, beginning of the first quarter. Then Deontay Wilder. Then the following year, he's going to fight Fury. If he gets past, you know, everybody else. And that's it. Let's face it, man. Fury is 300-some pounds plus. He looks like a potato on toothpicks. That man's going to at least need two or three fights just to get back into the swing of things. So he ain't fighting no top guys right now, I don't think, coming back. It's gonna take him at least a year. So all of those fights are going to be massive fights. 90,000, 80,000 plus, 15, 20 mil guaranteed. And he cashes out. That's what's gonna happen. The milkman said it here first.
Milkman, you've been right before. We're going to have to stick around and see what happens with this one. Thank you for calling in. We're going out to Boston. I think 518 is Boston. First time calling in. Who's this? 518-240. 518-240. Going once. Twice. You're gone. You're dead. We're going out to Skype. If I'm only the person that I'm speaking to, unmute yourself. Arnold, talk to me. First time calling in?
Yeah, man.
Where are you calling in from, buddy?
London, bro.
London. Well, I already gave your name and where you're calling in from, but I'm still going to give you this intro, and then you can jump into your call, man. How long have you been listening, though?
I watched your other thing, so probably since the beginning.
Oh, no. I mean, other than today, like, is this the first time you ever found us?
No, it was when you did the Canelo fight. So then I watched it, and after this, I just started watching it again.
Nice. Thanks again, brother. Well, here you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, making his professional debut.
Arnold from London, man.
So what do you think about all these topics we're talking here? Anthony Joshua, the fact that he's only going to be fighting twice a year, the fact that Fury's not going to be this year, according to Eddie Hearns, and the fact that he's done so well with viewership and pay-per-view buys.
Like, I think it's amazing for the brother, but I think, like, if you look at Anthony Joshua, every time he fights, he don't move his head. So they need to learn. He needs to learn certain things before he fights certain guys. Like if he fights Wilder, let's be honest. Like Wilder's not the best fighter, but if he catches him with a jab and that mad right hand he's got, it's over. Like there's no getting up and then telling him Wilder to come on. He's crazy. Like even I feel like it would be a bad move for him to go fight Wilder now. I think he should fight the Pulevs, all these guys, make some money, do the Floyd Mayweather. When everything's on the hype, cash in on it. If when it dies down, make a big fight and the hype will come again. Because you can't just talk about, oh, you're going to fight this guy and this guy and this guy. If he loses, the hype is gone. Honestly, like, if he loses, the hype is gone. Like, if Wilder knocks him out.
Or he goes in there and beats Wilder, beats Parker, beats Ortiz, beats Klitschko in a rematch, and cleans out the division in under 25 fights, and he's a legend.
Yeah, because you're in a daydream. This is boxing, my G.
I love it, Andrew. Oh, no, you're the fucking man.
Like, this is boxing. Like, you have to remember, a 41-year-old caught him clean and could have took him out. Don't tell me about, because Klitschko's the best Klitschko you've seen. Klitschko came in there, let me get busy. Then he saw Anthony Joshua was frightened. Then he said, okay, let me hit him. He got hit with a big punch, and then we saw Klitschko do something he's never, ever done. He just started swinging. He caught him with a left hook, then said, raw, my man's hurt as well. Start beating him. What did Anthony do? He panicked. You're telling me that's Deontay Wilder? He's going to stand and say, yeah, give me some of those Alabama bangs, I'm going to take it. No, you're not. You got to sleep, bro. It's a fact. It's like, you got to be smart. This is boxing. Like, you just can't just go in there and think, yeah, let me make 20 million again and again. No, bro. Come on.
Yo, let me ask you something. I hear like a little distinct Jamaican accent in there. You got some Jamaican in you or something?
Yeah, man.
Let me ask you something. What do you know about Deontay Wilder that we don't know? Because I interviewed him one time in Alabama, and he started talking this King Selassie. I said, that shit sounded Jamaican.
He's Rastafarian.
Let me find out you only like Deontay because y'all both Rastafarian. No,
I'm not saying Deontay's better than him. I'm saying the man has to learn. Because the worst thing you can do in boxing is run on your hype. Look at fighters like Adrian Broner. He said, yeah, I'm a bad man. Now, let me come pay-per-view star. Winner for Marcos.
But hold on. But Adrian Broner never had a win of a Vladimir Klitschko. He never had a Hall of Famer on his resume.
Come on, man.
That's AJ like, does.
That's like Danny Garcia when he was peppering up all those old Mexicans. Now you're telling me he whooped
Zaddy. Wait, you're saying the Klitschko that we saw on Saturday is the same version or the same wear and tear as an Eric Morales? Get the fuck out of here. Come on, dog. Me and you both know that's not true. Come on.
Listen, that's unfair because Arnold, you're punching after the bell, and so did Matt.
But he, great call, Arnold. Great call.
That's a great call. We want to hear you back. We want to hear you back. I gotta get some Tory Lanez in here. We're gonna get you some Batman sound, you know what I'm saying?
That Caribbean music that you love.
Yeah. Hey, you see Wilder got that fan base in the UK. Selassie is coming out for him real quick. Leon, talk to me, McGlovin. Leon?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, bro. Sorry. I was involved in the last call there. I've enjoyed the last call just as much as you guys. Yeah, what I wanted to bring into the conversation, the fact is that Anthony Joshua is the money man of the heavyweight division at the moment. And all the other contenders, the Wilders, the everyone else, need to step up and bring some money to the table. And the simple fact is, no one's making themselves the main man to take on the main man, who is Anthony Joshua at the moment. The money that Anthony Joshua generates, you know. Trying to romance me or something. What's going on? So
that's Matt. Whenever he feels someone is crying.
It's funny because, like, I think AJ is the best heavyweight on the planet. I think he's going to beat all these guys. I just love playing that soundbite.
Okay. But I wouldn't say AJ is the best heavyweight on the planet. It's unproven. It's unproven at the moment because you don't know until two men get in the ring.
Very true.
Yeah, so, that was my opinion. That was just my opinion. I'll put it that way.
Okay. Yeah, I hear you. But for me, it's about money. And the simple fact is, the promoters, the boxers need to step up themselves and make it the Anthony Joshua Klitschko fight. If that wasn't the money fight for both of them, that would not have happened. If it was just because it was 50-50, it was too much of a risk on both parts to bring it to the table unless there was money involved. So the Wilders, the whoever else is out there need to make sure the Parkers need to bring up their profile and make sure that they can bring some numbers to the negotiating table to make that fight happen for themselves. So that's the point I wanted to make. I mean, I'm loving the show. All right, guys.
All right. Sounds like another roadblocker for AJ, man. They don't want AJ to go in a straight to nothing. They want the other heavyweights to build their profile. And look, I understand it, man. We had that one caller call in and say, if AJ took all the tough fights, well, where would heavyweight boxing be after that? Listen, we're going to stay on a Skype machine. We're going to go out to a new caller. Dev, talk to me.
Yo, hello.
First time calling in, correct?
Yeah, first time calling. Yeah, I'm on my mate's laptop. It's actually Rob Sloan, my name is.
Oh, your mate, your name is Rob. Rob, so how long have you been listening?
I've been on YouTube a while. I've seen your stuff quite a few times. I always pop up now and then.
Nice. Well, we're going to go ahead and play this intro. Turn the radio down in the background and go ahead and introduce yourself. Let the world know your name, where you're calling from, and get into this topic.
Ladies and gentlemen, making his professional debut,
Rob Sloan from Cambridge.
Cambridge. So what's on your mind, brother?
Right. I just, like, Deontay Wilder, I've never seen a fighter actually he's regressed. He hasn't actually progressed. Like, from his last fight with Jared Washington, like, when I was watching it, he looked worse than he did in the fight before. I just think, like, styles make fight, and with the Klitschko fight, the style with the Fury fight with Klitschko, he outboxed him, and that showed that. But obviously with AJ, he fought Klitschko, and, like, styles make fights, and I think if Deontay Wilder fought Anthony Joshua, I think his technique, everyone forgets he won an Olympic gold medal. Like, this guy's got technique, and I just think Deontay Wilder's technique, it's just all over the shop. Like, he's got the equalizer, right? So he can knock anyone out. And don't get me wrong, he could spark out Anthony Joshua. But I just think it's just all in AJ's favor, really. I think it's like 75%, 25% really on that side. But yeah, that's what I wanted to say. I just feel like AJ probably has Deontay Wilder's number.
And what way do you think Deontay Wilder regressed?
Are you serious, Doomy Doomsday, or did you not watch the Gerald Washington fight?
Yeah, but what did he regress in exactly?
I mean, the technique,
game planning,
it's not getting better. He's wild.
He's not fluid.
He only gets wild after he hurts the opponent.
His name is not Deontay Wild Wilder. It's
you guys are acting like he's wild, throughout the whole fight. It's only after that he really hurts the opponent.
But he can still get countered on being wild. That's not to be forgotten. You can't just
he's careful,
it doesn't exist. He does get wild. He can be countered.
And it happens at the worst time, senor. You cannot
after the guy's a standing zombie, he goes wild.
It happens when his emotions are riled up. When he thinks he has his man hurt, that means that he throws all caution.
Yes. Does he really think, or has he hurt every opponent and then gone wild?
I don't know. We haven't seen him get chin checked yet by a counter shot due to that.
It's pretty hard to hit back when you're a zombie.
Well, I mean, and look, and this is not my view, but the views of the public, the forums, they say, yeah, obviously no one's countered him because he's fighting bums. It's not me, but you know that's what they say. Put someone
and,
in
and there. The, and, the one, and the one non-bum he fought, he never hurt, and he stuck to his jab throughout 12 rounds.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with being a boxer.
I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying that he was never wild in that fight. He never hurt his opponent in that fight, unlike all of his other fights where he does hurt his opponent and go extremely wild to the point of losing all technique and form.
Well, let's not call them bums. All right? Just less caliber or whatever you want to call
yes,
them.
Yes, lower caliber.
We're not calling them that. That is what
the public perception.
Public perception. And these fighters need to understand that when they listen to these shows. We're only speaking what they're reading. we're only discussing what's being said in the message boards. You know what I mean?
I had to throw it out there, bro, because
it's the truth. Listen, if you're watching this on YouTube, hit that thumbs up button because we need that. It helps with the visibility of the show. We're going to go back out to the UK. We're going to John. Called in yesterday. John, what's going on?
Calls the star.
Yeah, what's up, my man? Can you hear me good?
Yeah, we're good. You got to turn... Got to turn that all down in the background. Dev, Rob, turn that down or I got to let you go. Only the people that are speaking can have their phone on, obviously. John, talk to me.
Yeah, can you hear me, my friend?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
I've been hearing a lot of people speaking about Joshua's draw on the 90 million or 90,000. You have to have a dance partner.
Gee.
They had 90,000 because Klitschko has a massive base. He's got a massive fan base. Nobody else is going to bring that 90,000 but Klitschko. Klitschko and Joshua bought that dance partner, two of them. You disagree? But nobody's going to bring up the fact that Klitschko was there as well.
I agree. I mean, listen, we're asking the public. Who do you think can bring in that type of number?
Nobody right now. Because remember, look, when I rang you the other day, I said to you that I'd like to see Deontay fight Klitschko in America. That would be a massive fight because Klitschko is going to bring the same numbers. He's going to bring that big number. Bigger number because there's more Germans in and Ukrainians in America than there is in England. So that would be massive. Now imagine... He gets beaten or by Deontay with those massive numbers.
Yeah, but at this point, do you still want a Deontay Wilder fight versus Vladimir Klitschko when you just seen what happened to Vladimir?
Oh, the Vladimir that turned up. Absolutely. I believe that Vlad would take care of Parker. Parker's got nothing for Vlad. This is the Vlad that actually fought back in the day before he started getting knocked out. And imagine if Stewart came and taught him the wide stance, keep your chin away, keep the jab out there. He only ever throws that right hand when his opponent is helpless. After he's weakened him, softened him, by throwing the right hand, he brings his chin closer to the opponent. He has not been doing that since he was chin checked back in the day. But on Saturday night, the whole Klitschko turned up to have a fight. You'd imagine, like I see on YouTube, where Evander Holyfield is taking the mickey out of, what's his name? He threw the title in the bin to avoid Lennox. Hello?
You got me, brother. That is your 3-minute round clock there. I want to thank you, obviously, for calling in. I want to thank everyone that tuned in to the Boxing Voice. I'm going to try 518 one more time, see if he got himself together. 518, Antonio's trap phone.
What are you doing in my phone?
No, guess not. Well, let's go to the outro, baby, because we've gotten through it. What have we learned according to our public? They don't mind Fury first. Well, a lot of them want Fury first, but understand that it cannot be. And basically they're letting us know that the UK would basically see Joshua versus anybody. They would pay for it.
Yeah, and it's just funny that it's now the word marinating has now become acceptable in boxing. You know, it's not that long ago we had the whole 6 years of Mayweather-Pacquiao and the term marinating being thrown out by everyone and boxing fans hating that term. Now we're using it all the time now and using it like it's acceptable. It's interesting. A lot of things. Yeah.
I mean, AJ stock rose. My opinion, I think, was not too far off from what the UK crowd was thinking. And, I mean, about him fighting twice a year, I mean, I think they wanted, I think Joshua wants a 9 to 10 year reign. So probably 15, 20 more fights if they do that, if they keep it at that pace.
Man, I read a quote that Hearn said, this guy has about 8 to 10 more years. So they're not going to be overly crazy. They're going to do what they got to do the right way. Listen, I am your host, Nestor Gibbs. I want to ask you, if you're listening to this in the future, present, past, it doesn't matter. Those thumbs up help with the visibility of the show, as do those 5-star reviews. Catch me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO, and you can catch my co-hosts.
You can find me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter and Matt Hunter TBV on Instagram, and my MMA podcast, Mixed Combat Radios, on Patreon, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, etc. Peace.
You can catch me on Twitter, Alex Linus TBV. Catch me on IG, Alex Doomsday Linus. And also on Facebook, Alexander Linus.
Later.